So, Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, I have nothing to say except what I hear and see. And as you have shown me, I simply yield myself to replay, not as an echo, but as your voice, your oracle, the things you have dropped in my heart. Lord, I yield myself to you. Holy Spirit, inspire me, breathe upon me, to speak and release your word in simplicity. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be a confirmation with signs following of that which you are saying to us individually and as your church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, last week we had some great men minister to us. The world was celebrating Father's Day. But one strong thing that was laid on my heart is, and I was reminded also this morning, we always look at Father's Day and we turn it into some kind of celebration. And everybody, you know, your father, you've never called for the past 1 year, you remember your father. You call your father, you text your father, and then you wait for another 1 year. And some of us too, you might be listening, and you might feel guilty. The whole idea is not to put you on a guilt trip. But it's that time of the year you remember you have responsibility over the people you have fathered and brought into this world. Fatherhood is not a title. We need to focus on men, because it's the men who become fathers. And if we don't have responsible men who are ready to take responsibility, who are ready not to enter and start a family and start lording it over their wives and their children and turning themselves into lions and roaring over everybody in their family, we don't need that. The world does not need that. The world needs responsible men who become fathers. That's why our focus last week is not so much on the father, it's on the man. And man talks about maturity. It's not about a macho. You can be macho and have all the 6 packs and 10 packs and be so immature if you don't have a heart that God is looking up for. The Bible tells us about a man in the Bible called David. He said, I have seen among the sons of Jesse a man, he used the word man, it is a boy, it's a man. He used the word child, it's a man after my own heart. So what are we talking about today? Something very simple as we follow the theme of we've been looking at this one that is growing and maturing my heart. And looking at something we will title today. I struggled a bit because of the title. It's not the title, it's the word. It's number one, how to know the true state of my heart and how to mature, how to become mature. So knowing the true state of my heart, the true state of my heart, and how to become mature. So two things we'll be sharing. The first part is about the true state of my heart. And we started this last week, or rather 2 weeks ago. We took a little break, a detour last week to focus on the men. And I shared with us then, I think we went from number one to number two. And then we stopped. And I promised we will continue with this, but I wanted to be sure that I'm not just promising and I'm being put under pressure to share those things. Because at times, let me tell you this, if you are someone who regularly speaks and stands on pulpits, one of the things I'm learning now, and let me share this with some of us, some of the messages that God gives you is actually not for people, it's for you. It is for you. I was reminded during the week, one thing that many years ago, because I looked at my life, I sensed that I was going to be doing what I'm doing now, many years ago. I would be in what is called the fivefold ministry, on a pulpit, being very vulnerable, sharing, preaching, teaching, shepherding people. I remembered I prayed one prayer. I said, God, I know myself. I know me. You know me. I know my weaknesses. I know the weakness of my flesh. Let me tell somebody listening and those of us in the studio. If you look at your life and if you want to be true to yourself, because the first thing we're going to look at is how to know the true state of our hearts. If you want to be true to yourself, you will find out there's that one weakness that you have. One weakness. There is that thing. That one thing that always makes you to fall. To fall short of God's standard. And at times, if you want to deceive yourself, you just cover it up spiritually. Or you don't admit you have a weakness. And, you know, you just want everybody to see how good you are. You cover up. You know, I'm not trying to be funny, please. But you will find out that in this time and age we live in, and I'm not talking about just one sex. I'm talking of both sexes, male and female. One of the most powerful, lucrative industries today is the make-up industry. We make up. You know, you don't even need to make up. Do everything you need to do. Your phone can make you up. Put on the right filters. Put this, adjust this, edit this, and your skin will be glowing. You will take the picture and put it on social media. And nobody will see that wrinkle. Nobody will see that pimple that popped out right, left, and center. You use filters. We have mastered the act of cover up. I said, God, you know me, and I don't want to cover anything. Please, don't put me on the foot. If you have not dealt with me. I don't want to be on that pulpit. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Standing on the pulpit and preaching to people when my life is a mess. When my own house is not in order. I said, Lord, I don't want to be that kind of a preacher. And I remember, and I, like I was saying, reminded this week, I heard clearly, this is what I want you to do. You heard this statement. I'm sharing my experience now. Many years ago, before I started mounting pulpits and preaching, some of you think it's that easy. And I was joking with a young man here, actually, when he came to try and adjust the camera here. They said, no, you can preach. I'll give you the topic and the scriptures. You stand here and preach. You think it's that easy? I said, Lord, please, don't put me on the pulpit. Don't let me ever stand on the pulpit if I'm a hypocrite. And I remember this is what God told me. You heard it said, practice what you preach. I'm sure we've all heard that before. Those of us here, practice what you preach. They tell you, practice what you preach. But this is what the Holy Spirit told me many years ago. I want you to preach what you have practiced. Preach what you have practiced. So don't stand on any pulpit. Start sharing revelation that you've not experienced yourself. So what I'm about to share with us about knowing the true state of our hearts are things I have gone through, the dealings of God in my life. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, so that I give us the scripture, and then from verse 1 to 20, the end, and I'll bring out these nuggets. We'll look at how to know the true state of our hearts and how to grow our hearts and become mature. Number one, verse 1, Deuteronomy and chapter 8, the Bible declares there, and I read, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God, listen, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Verse 3 now says, so he humbled you and and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Last week, or rather 2 weeks ago, the things that reveal the true state of my heart. The first thing he says, trials, tribulations, persecutions, the pressures of life, when adversity of life comes. It is not the adversity, it's God using the adversity to show you the true state of your heart. You remember we talked about toothpaste. If you want to know what is inside that toothpaste bottle, just apply a little bit of pressure. What is inside it will come out. That is what adversity does to us. It helps us to see what has been inside us all along we've been ignoring. Maybe you're having a troubled marriage. You're having a troubled relationship. You're having a troubled, you know, work situation. You're having a troubled school circumstances. Whatever adversity, whatever pressure, or you're going through persecution, left, right, and center. People like us attacking. Oh, my goodness. I remember when I turned 53 years ago, you know, all of a sudden, all hell was let loose upon my life. I didn't know I was this close to entering into depression. Meanwhile, everybody was celebrating, you know, left, right, and center. People had not seen in years. You know, thank you for celebrating me 3 years ago. I've moved on. I'm no longer 50. I'm 53 now. I just told you my age, okay, in case you didn't know. But you see, all these things is helping you to see how you will react, how you will respond, shows you what truly is in your heart. If you respond by cursing those who curse you, it shows your heart is full of curses. Respond by loving the people who persecute you, who use you despitefully, that's a sign to show you what's in your heart. So that's number one, the things that reveal the true state of our hearts. We share that. Number two, when you hear about somebody else's prosperity, you hear about somebody's blessing. Wow! How do you respond? How do you react? Envious? That's a sign you have envy in your heart. Excuse me, we're human. No. Let's be real. Because these are things that God was showing me in my own life and I had to deal with. You just suddenly hear somebody, maybe your mate or somebody younger than you, suddenly they are blessed with something or they prosper or they have something that you really wanted. You didn't get it and they just got it like that. How do you respond? We are human. Excuse me. I'm talking to you as a human being who relies on God. If you find out you feel uncomfortable, if you find out you are not happy for them, that's a sign to show you what's in your heart. Don't spiritualize it, please. Please, just acknowledge this is how I felt when I heard so and so. This happened to them. They did this. Past, their children are doing well. You know, for example, you know, I'm talking about the Arabs today. How do you feel when you see the Arabs online doing what they are doing? You feel, how come it's just them? What about me? Excuse me. That's a sign of what's in your heart. Are you happy? How do you respond when you hear of somebody's blessing or prosperity? Number three, when you hear of people's adversity, one other one is blessing, this other one is adversity. Especially your enemies. You just had somebody you regard as your enemy, their leg broke. Do you go into thanksgiving and greet your You know, I almost spoke one terrible, it's called broken English. Let me break the English and I'll say the very good Queen's English later. You use a God, don't catch up. What it means is that, yes, that's them right. God, come on. Caught up with them. Yes. Do you rejoice? Oh, somebody's saying, but they are my enemies. Okay, let me give us a scripture. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 17. Let's go to Proverbs 24, verse 17. We're going to cover these things today, whether we like it or not. Because we need to get to the place of maturity. So let's see what exposes our heart and let's see how we can deal with them. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 17. I read from the New King James Version. Look at what it says. Some of us have seen it before. He says, "Don't not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles." Just hold on to that scripture. You rejoice? Are you glad? Is your heart so glad that all of a sudden you, that last week when they were singing in the service in the church, you were not singing. But today, all of a sudden, you are praising God. You are just jumping. But you are not really praising God. You are so happy because of what happened to XYZ last week and now. It shows the state of your heart. It shows the true state of my heart. What do I do when things like that happen? I say, God, help me. Because what Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who despitefully use you. Anyone who persecutes, love them. That is what Jesus said. It's a hard statement. Somebody saying, oh, pastor, it's not easy. Look, Jesus said, come to me because you are carrying a heavy load. You are having a yoke. See, when you learn from me, your yoke becomes easy. Your burden becomes light. What do I do at such times? Lord, I don't like this feeling. I shouldn't be feeling this way. I acknowledge I'm happy. So and so broke their leg or broke their neck. Are you getting me? But Lord, this is wrong. I shouldn't be feeling this way. This is not godly. This is not God. Even God does not want the sinner, the murderer, to go to hell. That may shock you, because God is love. God never designed hell for mankind. Hell is for the devil and his demons, not for human beings. So God is always happy to see the sinner repent. Listen, all this prayer, Lord, my enemies, let them die. Let them. All the enemies you've been killing, right? Every video killing enemy. How come they are still around? You know, there's a country, I'm not going to mention the name of the country. I know when some people, Christians, were praying this guy must die. This must happen. This must, till today, they might stay alive. And I'm talking like in the 80s. The man is still very much alive. Don't rejoice. It's not God. It just shows that you have wickedness and evil in your heart. That's just what it says. All right. That's number. Are you there? Have I lost you?
Yes.
Kenny, are you here? God bless you, brother. Please just be tweeting it and sharing it online. Number four. A little promotion. When actually you are the one now who gets the promotion, and suddenly prosperity, do you go right there, Facebook, and boom, just take a selfie, bless, just show everything, do a talk, you just flaunt it there. The real reason why you are flaunting it. Actually to smite some people. The real reason why you're flaunting the blessing, the prosperity, can I tell you? Oh, Lord. One day the Holy Spirit showed me this. Please don't miss this. See? God blesses you a little. You prosper a little. The next thing, you're flaunting it everywhere. Nobody can talk to you anymore. Or even you are trying to be humble. You know, we're just trying to be humble, but you know, look at the things God has done, you know. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit told me it's a sign that there's poverty in your heart. poverty mentality. Please tell me the last time Mark Zuckerberg planted maybe a car he just bought on Facebook. Tell me the last time was Microsoft, Bill Gates, just showed you the new mansion he just bought. The new yacht is now flying, or I mean the private jet Gulfstream. It's a poverty mindset. The people who are rich, they're actually looking for who to bless, not what to plant. Top one. You know, I've shared the story before. And my brother at the back there reminded me, said he acting minister to him too, because he went through a similar situation. I was in church one day and my wife rang me. Hey, now, I won't mention the name of our son. I've got two of them, so figure out which one. You know, so that they don't fight me where we get to. The boys are getting big now, the way they talk to me. I'm just I'm watching my steps around the house. I'm joking. The boys are wonderful. Noah and Joshua. We celebrate my Noah and Joshua. Yeah. Okay, I know you want to hear this. So my wife ran and said one of them smashed the TV. And this TV, in all society, we were blessed with that TV. Somebody just came and blessed us with it. Because we couldn't afford it. Let me just tell you the truth. Some people look at pastors and enjoy their cheeks, their stomach, like pollution stomach. Boy, we are acquainted with grief. Every day, most times, one person's pain or the other you are dealing with. You want to be a pastor? Welcome. Be a pastor. But get ready to deal with people's pain. People will sell you their pain, and that's what you have to be dealing with. Night and day. If you're not careful, you will. Anyway, let's leave that. So I said, what? I'm coming home now. I was driving home. I was angry. I will deal with it when I get home. Mind you, I'm telling you the truth, and my sons are here because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't beat my sons physically. That's hard to stomach. No, I just are here. Please, after the service, I give you permission to ask them when last I beat them, the day I beat them, and the time and the hour. I don't. Because I learned a secret on how to train children. The rod of correction is not the rod of destruction. Some of us, they have beaten hell out of us. But they managed to actually beat hell into us. Anyway, I'm not talking about that. That's for another day. But this day, I said, I will deal with you. I was driving away. I was contemplating. I'll beat him when I get home today. I'll show you better. As I was going, and I almost got home, I just heard the voice of the Spirit of God say, can you see how poor you are? So you're going to destroy your son because he broke the TV. You will now break his mind. Injury on him and plant something in his head that the TV is worth more than his life. I repented. So I just, okay, what happened? I can't remember, but that was a struggle I was having to like drove home. And as God will have it, I think a few months after my wife remembered, God replaced the TV. Somebody else came. Give us a brand new TV, bigger than that one. How many times bigger? I don't know how many inches that one. Excuse me. A little prosperity. What does it turn us into? It shows the state of our heart. Number. Answered prayers. I'm telling you. Does an answer to your prayer now suddenly become an excuse? The blessing of the Lord, the Bible says, makes rich, adds no sorrow. Does it not become an excuse? Does a new change of status, new change of location, because we're going to look at that, change of location is the next one actually. How do you respond. You don't really know when you are drifting. It's so slow. New status, new, you know, I'm not where I am. This time last year, I'm in a new place. But then you don't realize your heart is slowly drifting. You have shifted from the blesser to the blessing. Slowly. So when our prayers are answered, when we're blessed, it reveals the true state of our hearts. Slowly. You know, backsliding is slow. 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 We just need to reset, readjust to a new status and ask God, what should we do? God has given us a brain to make sure that, like Noah, we don't just build one altar. You don't just raise one burnt offering to God when you step out of the ark. You need to do it daily. Romans chapter 12. Present your body daily as a living sacrifice. Don't let any blessing shift you. Focus on the blesser, not the blessing. Somebody's 25, 6. So what number are we going to? Okay. Whatever number. It shows the state of your heart. Right. Change your location. See, let me tell you what changing location does. It actually reduces your hidden agenda. Suddenly, when you are in Liverpool, you're always in church. Let me use that as an example. Now you are now in let me look for one food. I don't want to mention black food. Let's talk about what you think I'm talking about. Give me another pool. Hartley pool. Thank you, Noah. You're now in Hartley pool. How do you now start living? It shows the state of your heart. Commitment is not there. And you know, even a temporary change of heart. Let me tell you something. You know, anytime, I'm being real. Anytime I go to, I'm not attributing it to Nigeria. So please take it from me. Anytime I go to Nigeria, I notice the tendency for me to backslide. I'm not in Liverpool, I'm not around family, you know, usually when I travel by myself. So I just notice a drop. Just a pint. Drop in my spiritometer. If there's anything like that. That's why on my last trip, I made sure, because there's this hour with the Holy Spirit, 12 midnight, that a couple of us have to pray, to spend time, 1 hour with the Holy Spirit. But this would be a very good excuse. I landed in the airport, and I was stepping out, and it was 12 midnight. I just told my brother who came to pick me, please, if you have any Wi-Fi here, I must have this hour with the Holy Spirit. And people online are waiting. I have someone who joins us from America, those in Liverpool, those outside Liverpool. And I was able to. Because I had to put that in place. Because I recognized the land in that place, the heat that will first of all hit you, can drive the Holy Spirit away from you. All right. Number 7. Is usually a new location is a newfound freedom. So it gives you the opportunity to misbehave. Okay, the final one is not as much as something about us. He's the one who actually reveals. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's the revealer of our hearts. Let me give us a scripture. I hope I find that scripture, Proverbs 20. How are we doing with time? Good. I'll just spend the rest time to share with us how to be mature. Because it's good. Get the diagnosis and then know how to grow. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Okay? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the true revealer of things in our hearts that we don't know. So if you look at Proverbs 20, 27, thank you all those who are online. We are with you. We're having fun here. Really, really having fun. So get up where you're sitting there and start growing and doing what God asks you to do. Stop sitting there at home. You know, the pandemic has just helped some of us. We are so comfortable. Let me tell you the truth. When we knew it was time to step out and start these digital meetings, I told my wife, we didn't know. We started going now to talk for the house and setting up. And then I realized, my friend, that's the beginning of backsliding. I recognized how I felt and asked God to help. This is not bad. The physical two or three gathering is what Jesus also commanded. So don't hide under the digital space. Let me tell you. If somebody in the studio here, if today is their birthday, for example, and they want us to celebrate with them, they will give us physical cake, not digital one. If they're online, they will be sending emoji and cake. What's that going to do with my life? Where two or three are gathered in my name, physically. It's there. I'm not downplaying the fact that, yes, the digital, I'm just talking to those who know they should be physically in the place who are still sitting down. When God has opened the door, God is not going to push you out. He told Noah, you go out of the ark. You go out. All right. What did I say we should look at? Proverbs. Verse 27. Thank you. This is wonderful. Please, all of you online, clap for those in the studio. See that? You can't hear them clap. You'll just be sending, just be looking at that. How does that bless my life? Please, I'm not downplaying that. Patrick David is watching. Patrick David, get here, bro. Don't watch me. I want to see you. All right. Okay, yeah, he's taking his wife on honeymoon. That's okay. We can. I hope that's what he did. All right. It was their wedding anniversary, wasn't it? On Thursday. Congratulations again to Patrick. Happy wedding anniversary. Marriage is the greatest lockdown you can ever experience in your life. You are locked down with another human being for the rest of your life. And you've got to learn how to stay in the ark together. This is Noah. Couldn't jump out of that ark when she quarreled with Noah during that lockdown. And she jumped out. Or Mr. Noah said, yeah, that's it. And then he goes, he wanders away, and then wanders into the lion's cage. Some of these things are funny, but I'm telling you. All right. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle. Oh, the Lord. Searching the inward, the inner depths of where? The heart. That is the spirit of man. The spirit of God bears witness with our spirit and tells us whether we indeed are the children of God. Paul was writing to one of the churches in his epistle. So, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit searches all things, deep things that nobody sees. When the Bible tells us God looks at the heart, he doesn't look and see as a man sees, he looks at the heart. So, the greatest revealer of the secrets is the Holy Spirit. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit constantly, Lord, show me the true state of my heart and help me, because he's a helper. He's the one to help us to begin to grow, to begin to get rid of all these negative things we find out that are in our hearts that shouldn't be. We want to be sincere with ourselves. One version says, our inner thoughts are a lamp for the Lord, and they search our hearts. How do you really recognize your heart? Please listen to your thoughts. What are you thinking? You know one thing about thoughts? Thoughts at times can become very unfiltered. You can't control it. You just feel like you're just thinking this way. Why am I thinking evil towards this person? Why am I wishing? Why am I feeling bad? It's inside. Nobody sees it. But you know, outside, you're dancing with them. You know? Anyway, I won't go there. I don't want to say what I want to say. But the Holy Spirit, He lights, He ignites our conscience. The Bible says, how much more? It talks about the blood of Jesus. He purges our conscience from every dead work. But the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, with our conscience, with those inner thoughts. Don't neglect them. All right, how do we grow? We grow, let me tell us, if the Holy Spirit permits, I will share this again and expand on this. Time has gone, but there's a scripture that tells us about children. We see that in Galatians and chapter 4, 1 to 2. It talks about a child who will be handed over to tutors. The child is not yet a son. There's a difference between a child and a son. Yes, when we get saved, we are children. As newborn babes. The Bible says what? Desire. Desire. The sincere. Please know that word. Sincere milk of the word. The problem at times is we are not sincere. We don't want to hear the sincere truth told to us. You don't want someone to tell you. You know, I'll share with my wife today that if anybody should ask me that, man, this is a practical way. I help myself to stay humble, to be real to myself. I don't always want to hang around people who call me pastor. Because the moment they call you pastor, there's an expectation. And if you're not careful, you have to put up and you have to behave. No, I intentionally hang around the people who knew me before I was a pastor. I hang around the people who can even, you know, like this, service my head. They're going, shut up, Ola. What are you talking? They are talking rubbish. I intentionally, and those people are usually to a yardstick to let me see truly I am born again. Intentionally, Jesus hung out with everybody. And everybody was able to see their find their level in Him. Intentionally. Not the people who say, yes, sir. Even some of the yes, sir, not sincere. You know, that's the truth. Somebody can be bowing to you physically. Inside, they are standing. They are what somebody wants. But all does it, is it because we are using yes, sir? And, you know, as you say, want to eat meat. Or rather, no, it's not that way. There's a saying, it's an African proverb. Is it because we are respecting the cow because we want to eat meat? We are doing yes, sir for the cow. It's the meat we're after, not the cow we are respecting. Anyway, Galatians, we have to grow from children to become sons. Now, what's the difference between a child and a son? I will just share some things, and then I will tell us how Jesus grew. And that's it. Okay? Just give me extra 5 minutes, and we'll be done. Okay? The Bible introduces us to the term child and the child, the term sons. Okay, let me just read that Galatians chapter. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Galatians and chapter 4, and verse 1. Thank you, all the people online. God bless you. Yes, thank you, Casey Ogles. His clap is clapping. Everybody here is clapping. You didn't hear the clap, but I can see the clap. Thank you for clapping. All right. Okay. UD Brandy said, be blessed, Pastor, with digital clap. Okay. I'm blessed. Thank you for the clap. Okay, Galatians. Where's my Galatians? I'm looking for my Galatians chapter 4. It's on the screen. Okay. Just give me a minute. We home run Galatians chapter 4. Okay. Somehow I can't get my Galatians chapter 4 open here. Please, can somebody in the studio read out Galatians chapter 4 and then I will echo it from here? Is anybody? Anybody with a pure heart? Yeah, read and I echo. Now I said that the hair, as long as it's a child, does not differ from a slave. Though he's a master of all. Verse 2. But is under guidance and steward until the time appointed by the father. The child needs to become a son to inherit and enjoy the father's inheritance. So if we remain as children, we will not enter into the fullness of what God has created us for. The Bible says the full of creation is waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons, not children of God. Sons, mature, people with a mature heart. When we talk about growing your heart, when we talk about maturing your heart, what exactly do we mean? When we're talking about that, to grow your heart, to mature your heart. Listen, we define heart, but let me help us again to remind us. We're talking about your inner being, the inner man, that person on the inside, the real you. We're talking about your level of understanding, your thinking, your inclination, your conscience. We're talking about where your emotions, those your passions, what are they like? That's the heart we're talking about. That's what we want to grow. We're talking about you growing and becoming a courageous person. A person of courage. That's what God told Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. You've got to grow. So that's number one what we're talking about. So the difference between a child, we want to take this down quickly. Children are led by what they want and what they desire. But sons are led by the Spirit of God. Children are led and driven by what they want, what they desire. But sons, they are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sons are different from children. Listen, this is very interesting. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way we should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. It is a child that can be trained. So listen to this. A child can be trained, but sons are already trained. Not just that. Sons are children are the ones that are trained. All right? As a child, you can't train. Once you lose that window, when it's a child, you can't train an adult anymore. But I'm not talking of an adult, because please, there's a big mistake. People think because of chronological age that makes them sons. No. Doesn't mean you're mature in spiritual things. That's why at the age of 90, you get saved, you're a spiritual babe. If you're a professor and you get saved today, you are a spiritual babe. We shouldn't put you on the pulpit here and tell you to start sharing with us. You know nothing, bro. So sad that we don't put these things in order and then we have chaos in the house of God. A celebrity gets saved. He's a babe. Don't bring the celebrity because he has 1 million people watching when he's singing. I put him on the pulpit and tell you to start leading worship. What worship? Worship what you're still not very familiar with. You're growing to know God. So listen. Sons are trained. And sons can restrain themselves. Children don't. Excuse me, those of us with little children, what are the first set of words you hear children say? I want. I want. I want. And when you don't give them, see now, is that what you got? I want hot dog. I'm not looking that direction. Not looking that direction at all. But a son. Daddy, can I make you hot dog? Or they restrain. They can be, sons are trained and can restrain themselves. And listen, and are ever ready to be restrained. Sons are trained, can restrain, and are ready to be retrained. Their heart is always open for correction. The Bible says, rod and reprove gives wisdom. But a child that is left himself will bring his mother shame. Don't leave the child, train the child. As you are praying, please don't replace prayer with training. Train. Lead by example. The children are watching. All right? The children are still being taught skills. And usually, the child is very selfish. Self-centered. You have a baby today. The baby doesn't care whether you go to work or not. Whether you pay your council tax or not. Good. Your whole life is taken over. For the next X number of years, by a child. Your life, you can't come and play football with us anymore. Hello, Daddy King David. I'm just beating you. Why? Got the child to look after. The child, children are naturally self. But not sons. Not sons. They are driven by what they want. But when you become a son, you are not driven by what you want. You are driven by what God wants from you. Anyway, let me just stop. There's a lot to still share. How did Jesus grow? The Bible says, let me read the one in Luke chapter 5. Sorry, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 5, I mean 2, verse 52. I want to round up. I promise to round up, and I've got to restrain myself. You know, like I said, sometimes when God gives you a message, the message actually may be for you first. Not maybe, it's actually for you first. So that's how far I have a release to share today. The rest is for me. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. Listen, this is how you grow your heart. How do you increase in wisdom? Listen, the Bible says faith comes by information comes in you. How you start thinking. In formation is the formation in you through what you hear. So we grow by information. The right information, please. There's all sorts of nonsense out there now on social media. So get informed or you'll be deformed. But what are you informing yourself? So Jesus grew in wisdom. So information, the knowledge, the understanding leads to wisdom. So expose yourself to the truth, to the right things, the Word of God. Compare the Word of God to what's happening in the world today. Get informed. In any sphere of life, find out the truth about it. By the grace of God, I'm doing some professional coaching outside pastoral work, and I'm dealing with people, real people, in the real world, who don't believe in my God. And I'm getting information on how to relate to people, because I will show you what that favor with God and man means. So, information, that's what helps you to grow in wisdom. Right information. So, increasing wisdom, the next thing is stature. Yeah, stature is talking about the physical growth. If you have a child that is still the same stature the day you were born, you'll be worried. So, how do you grow in stature? This is where our health and well-being comes in. Get the right food. And you have the right stature. I was telling someone, I said, you know, I noticed my stomach is coming out. And this person is into, you know, this healthy eating and fitness and all that. I remember all the first thing the person said, even though it was funny. I'm just remembering now. I said, so what's the formula for getting stomach to go down? Why are you looking at my stomach now? Like, I think I caught some people looking. Focus on the word. That's what we're talking about. First of all, the food you eat. When you eat the food, all these things, they end up in the stomach. So watch what you eat, both spiritually and physically. Because what we eat is both physical and spiritual. So Jesus increased the stature. That will increase your stature. Then the last one, favor with God and man. I never saw it this way until recently. God gave me a better understanding. Why didn't the Bible just say increase the favor with God? Why did it bring people into the picture? Because in this world, you will always need to relate with people. If you want to live in this world, and if you don't know how to relate with people, you will suffer in this world. Jesus grew in relationship with his Father and with people. He found favor. Oh, you're a Christian, but you've got no character. You will find this favor in your workplace. Everybody will hate you. They don't hate your God. They hate your person, your character. You enter, everybody must feel sad. You bring doom and gloom. You know, when we were young, we thought frowning your face means you are holy. Now, you're not being a Jehovah's Witness that way. You're being a Jehovah's forget it. They're wicked. Wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. You don't know how to relate with people. Find out how Jesus related with people. Ask the Holy Spirit to help. Envious of people, fighting with people, quarreling with people, you will not go far. Strife paralyzes group. They're always fighting. You will find out you will drive people away from your life, even the people who will help you in this life, even though you're carrying a tag that you're a Christian. Listen, I have learned that Christianity is not that I am speaking in tongues, I'm laying hands on the sick, the dead are rising, and people are healing me. That's not Christianity. Christianity is what God said to Jesus. First time he comes to River Jordan, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am. What did Jesus do prior to that time? It was 30 years. Did he raise the dead? He didn't even heal a couple. Why was the father pleased? Listen, fathers are pleased with sons, not with children. I looked at it and I did a study of Jesus' life from birth to when he was 30. I found out that he increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. Before he came to that river, Jordan, Holy Spirit came on him and he began to raise the dead. He would go and check it. That's when he began to do miracles. So miracles is not the validation, it's character. Let us pray.